going to be engaging with the entire prayer, but I'm going to focus in on the final statement in verse 4. And lead us not into temptation. You may not be aware, but in recent years, this portion of the Lord's Prayer has been the subject of much discussion and scholarship. How many of you are aware that the Roman Catholic Church is implementing a change to the English translation of the Lord's Prayer? Some of you are. Some of you may think, what? That's right. We just went through a change where we say, the Lord be with you and also with you. You think that was hard? Change the Lord's Prayer. This is from a recent article in the USA Today. Pope Francis reportedly approved changes to the wording of the Lord's Prayer, also known as the Our Father. Instead of saying, lead us not into temptation, Catholics will say, do not let us fall into temptation. The Pope said he thought the English translation of the prayer was not correct. He said it's not a good translation because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. A father doesn't do that. A father helps you get up immediately. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. That's his department. That from Pope Francis. Now, the Greek translation is challenging. It can literally be seen to say, do not be bringing or carrying us into trial or temptation. The verb bringing or carrying can be translated a couple different ways depending on context. And then bring us into trial or temptation. That's a Greek word, periasmos. And in its fullest sense, it holds the meaning of trial or proving. And the sense held by many scholars is that this verse points to the testing and proving that God tested and proved his people with in the Old Testament. It has that same sense. Here are two verses. First from Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. There's a testing or a proving. And this from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Scholars lean towards a translation favoring testing and proving rather than temptation due to this sense from the Old Testament, but also due to New Testament scriptures like James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, where James writes, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when they are lured and enticed by their own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Pope Francis is in favor of this change, largely because he grew up in a Spanish-speaking country. And the Spanish translation of this text declares, do not let us fall into temptation. It has that sense, leading to his affirmation of the new translation in English. They aren't changing other languages. This is just English. Now, in our own Anglican tradition, a new translation of this verse isn't a new thing. The Episcopal Church in the United States in the 1979 Book of Common Prayer, many of you may be familiar with that. In morning prayer, they had two Lord's Prayers side by side, the traditional and then the more contemporary version. That version stemmed from ecumenical scholars working in the early 1970s. And that version is included in our new ACNA Book of Common Prayer. So let's read this together. You can find it if you have your Book of Common Prayer in the midst of morning prayer and evening prayer, midday prayer, a couple different places. But let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Save us from the time of trial. I read that as, Lord, strengthen us when we are tested and when we are being proved, because we cannot stand firm in our own strength. We are unable to without your help. Lord, help us. Save us in the time of trial. We need you. In life, no matter how strong or deep your faith might be, there will always be times of trial and times of temptation. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 declares, the enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour, seeking to destroy. You must be on guard. Peter was writing to the early church, telling them, you must be aware. Church, you must be on guard. The enemy will use even both sides of an issue against you. Sometimes even using both sides of an issue in the same day to prove you, to test you, to draw you beyond temptation into sin. I made the point a few weeks ago when I was discussing hamburgers. The enemy will tempt you to eat and enjoy because you deserve it as you go into a burger establishment. Then as you leave the establishment, the enemy will shame you for eating so unhealthy. He will be pro-burger on the way in and anti-burger. He seeks to devour and destroy. He uses both sides of many issues. I'm for it. He encourages you to engage in whatever it is, and afterwards, he will then heap shame and regret. Even while I was on vacation, I clung to this verse, save me, Lord, in the time of trial. I found a healthy dependence there where I could cry out to my loving Father at any and every time. Even while I was on vacation, and in the midst of my vacation, there were times when my faith was tested, when my dependence on the Lord was tested, where my inner peace grounded in my Lord Jesus Christ was tested. And sometimes that trial was due to my own brokenness, my own insecurity, my own flesh, my own seeking and pursuing idols, or my own bad choices and bad behavior. Sometimes the trial was due to others whose behavior and interactions either attacked me directly, wounding me, or their behavior unintentionally wounded me, as whatever it was they said or did touched an already existing deeper wound from my past. It's funny how people can do that. You don't know why you're unnerved. What was it about that? And then you realize it's because they touched that wound in your heart by what they just said in passing. And it undoes you. Or it reveals the hurt, or reveals the regret, or reveals the shame or the pain. I think you know what I'm talking about. In those instances, my inner reactions were strong. My pain and struggle was real, sometimes out of the blue. Someone would say something and I was undone and I had to take time. I had to slow down. And I found myself crying out, save me, Lord, from this time of trial. Strengthen me so I can stand firm as your child. I had that choice, or I could just lash out at whoever impacted me. That doesn't work so well all the time. Well, it doesn't work so well at all. We need his strength. Save me, Lord, in the time of trial. Now, Kim's been reading a book throughout the summer by James Bryan Smith. And I got to hear James Bryan Smith speak at the Anglican Church of North America's assembly back in June. The book focuses on two realities for anyone who live with faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And those two realities have become a regular part of my prayer throughout each day, even as I pray, save me from the time of trial. I also now declare these two realities alongside that. And here they are in a slide. Let's read this first reality together. I am one in whom Christ dwells and delights. Let's stop there. Do you really believe that? That through faith in Jesus Christ, you are one in whom he dwells and in whom he delights. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're struggling with. Through faith in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin, you are one in whom he dwells and delights. And then the second part, let's read that together. I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. The kingdom is not in trouble, so neither am I. Those are two powerful truths. Apart from Jesus Christ, one is lost, unhinged from relationship, love, and strength that God desires for every man and woman who were created in his image, who were created by him. And if you today stand outside of God's kingdom, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I hope this message exposes the weak and faulty foundation your life resides on. I hope this message encourages you to reconsider your life's foundation. Because in Christ there is hope, and there is healing, and there is forgiveness, and there is mercy and compassion that cannot be found in this world. Now, for those of you who live by faith in Jesus Christ, who have been crucified with Christ and now live a new life empowered by his Holy Spirit, I hope this message gives you encouragement that you might stand firm by God's strength, no matter what the trial or temptation, because you are one in whom Christ dwells and delights, and because you, by faith in Jesus, reside in the unshakable kingdom of God. And that kingdom is not in trouble. So no matter what's happening in life, you are not in trouble either. If this morning you're feeling pain or shame or regret or anger or any other emotion tied to past wounds or past failures or current trials or current temptations, there is real help in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is real hope. I pray that you will receive the love and help you have in your church by God's grace. You have men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I encourage you to share your struggles and pain with each other. And I pray you will receive each other without judgment. You need one another. We are not designed to live a life of faith alone in isolation. I pray you will stand firm together with one another and pray regularly for one another. Last night I had a dream, and it was about a friend who I hadn't seen in a few years. I don't normally remember my dreams, but I made a note this morning. Well, I need to make a note after the service, so somebody remind me. But I need to reach out to him just to say, you know, because of my dream, I'm now praying for you. I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying for you. We need to pay attention to be praying for one another and receive one another when someone else comes to you struggling. I also want to remind you today that my door is always open for pastoral counsel, for guidance, for confession, and for prayer. Know that any confession before me is strictly confidential. The enemy would rather have you isolated, holding your burdens alone, suffering alone. And I pray you will turn away from that. The enemy will tell you, no one's safe to reveal that secret. Hold on to it yourself. And then after you share it with a brother or sister, or even with me, the enemy will try to say, you should never have shared that. You should see how they're looking at you now. He wants to keep you in bondage. And I pray you will not, that you will bring those burdens before the Lord and let them go. My door is always open. Resist the temptation to hold everything inside and suffer isolated and alone. Receive the love and support you have in your faith community. Allow God to set you free by His grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. Allow God to empower you by His indwelling Holy Spirit, that you might stand firm as His beloved child, as a son or daughter of the King, reflecting His love to the world. I want to close with a prayer, and I want us to pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, in you we have redemption of sin and restoration into right relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Save us from the time of trial. I am one in whom Christ dwells and delights. I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. The kingdom is not in trouble, so neither am I. Amen.